Graveyard Shift is now a proud member of the Podbelly Network of Podcasts. Visit them at www.podbelly.com.
God, I love you guys. I wish you would be more offensive about paranormal.
I don't like light.
It's a bit naughty.
I don't believe that it's all real.
I love you guys.
It's actually the most played podcast.
Life and death, or
we're
dealing with
weathers
in between. Now tell
it
before it's too late.
Run to the light, baby!
I have seen a ghost in my life.
Be more offensive about paranormal, because that's what we do best.
Welcome to Graveyard Shift, the podcast from Shift Films. I'm Frankie Campoletta.
And I am Jeremy King.
Okay, welcome back to Graveyard Shift. I have a special guest introduction tonight. You guys know her from God Helmet. She's our God Helmet.
And God. Campbell House.
And Campbell House.
That was my better performance.
I don't know.
I wasn't as drunk.
Yes. Here, drink all the beer. So Aaron Renee Shields is back with us. Yay.
Hello. Yay.
Thank you. I'm happy
and
to be here.
With me, as always, is
Jeremy David King.
And we'd just like to let you guys know that we are now part of the Podbelly.com network. Go ahead and visit www.podbelly.com. And you can see our little hand up there saying hi to you guys from the grave. And so tonight we're talking about something very different. Not really. Everybody's covered this ghost.
Everybody.
And so we want to do it in our own little way. And the way want to do it is kind of like break it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're talking about the...
The Bell Witch.
The Bell Witch, Aaron. Your favorite ghost story.
Okay.
We're going to go visit her.
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to take a little rock from the cave.
Oh, no.
Put it in your pocket?
Absolutely not.
Take a boulder.
Hashtag not we'll that just, white.
We will just sneak it into her backpack.
Oh, no.
That would be the worst trick ever.
That's evil.
It's like, what's going on in my house? This guy's trying to make you fried chicken. The oil's dumping on his leg, and he's getting harassed by some old lady.
Who knows if she's old?
This
we
is
don't
terrible.
Even know if she's old.
She's probably, well, I don't know. Do demons age? I don't know. I don't know.
Millions of years as old as the earth.
Of course.
She says something like that.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, she's got that going for her.
Yeah.
This is brought to you by Diet Pepsi Wild Cherry, my favorite. So if you're a fan of the show, all three of you, and
There's 12. Okay.
There's 12 steady listeners that are downloading thousands of our episodes, which is really strange.
Because there's like 70.
They're just not following us, but they are listening, which is kind of crazy. Because we're approaching over 1,600 downloads, which is crazy. Because we only have 17 episodes. That's nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts. Does it count if you download the episode multiple times?
That's what I do every night.
That's my mom.
I only download the episode. That's all I do at work.
It's registered on IP. So if your mom did it once, it won't register it.
Oh, okay.
So it actually is 1,600 people.
That's why I need a rotating IP.
So thinking about downloading somebody... Can you download the Bell Witch? Download us with the Bell Witch, Aaron. What's the basic story? What is the story that every podcast from here to China has talked about?
So, the Bell Witch is an entity of some kind that takes the form of a dog with a, what is it, a rabbit's head?
Mm-hmm, a rabbit's head.
So, different... weird animal embodiments, but she slowly gains strength and she haunts in a very poltergeist form this family. This family has 5 children between them, a couple older boys, maybe is it 6 children, a few older boys, and then another grouping of 3 younger children. And Betsy seems, who is the oldest of the 3 younger, seems to be the target of a lot of it. A lot of podcasts will speculate on who this entity is, who this spirit is, why she's around. And the basic story is just that she harasses Betsy. She harasses John. She breaks up Betsy and a potential marriage suitor when Betsy's like 11. So good on the witch for that one.
100%.
And then ultimately poisons and kills John Bell.
John Bell.
Who is the patriarch of the family. And also... the cat by proxy.
Yeah, we're gonna have a brief moment of silence for the cat.
Okay, and we're done. So Andrew Jackson also visits the family at some point. That's
always
part of the story.
This is a landmarker. This is actually on our Instagram right now. We actually have posted the landmark. We did not get to go to the Bellwitch.
Yet.
Not yet. We are planning a trip, and we're going to take you and your future husband. We're going to put him in the cave.
Future husband?
We're going to put him in the cave. He's going to make fried chicken for the Bellwitch. Do you know who that is?
Have you found him? Oh, it's this guy.
That guy. Hey, that guy.
That guy.
You should probably say his name so it's not like this apparition that we're
seeing. No, because last time I talked about him, y'all were like, is it Zach Bagans?
Bagans. Has Bagans lost his vision in the cave, Jeremy?
He never had vision.
Okay.
They do go in there. They do it, blind. I think.
Of course Zach went there.
I gotta go. I'm Zach Bagans, and I have no more mortal flesh.
I'm Zach Bagans, and I was possessed by a bat.
Anyway, so...
He was possessed by the witch's bat. Anyway,
this is the story. This is the story that everybody
John
talks
Bell
about.
John Bell goes into a cornfield. He sees something that's really weird, strange looking. It's got a rabbit face. It's got a dog body. He says, fuck this shit.
Shoots it.
And shoots the fuck out of it. Just like empties a whole chamber with shotgun shells into it. It disappears. He doesn't see a body. He can't find a body. He doesn't think anything about it.
Because that's, I mean, right?
Well,
you
a lot of times
think anything about it.
Not really, because if you shot and missed, the thing would scarce away. Right? It's just like missing a deer shot.
But you aren't concerned about what the hell this thing is?
Well, I'm sure he was walking the corn thing, and what he saw might have not been what his... Come on. I mean, you're kind of recognizing something that looks weird, looks off. Maybe, you know, it had a bad childbirth. Maybe there was something going on. I mean, he had farm. I mean, he probably seen a bunch of two-headed cattle in his day.
I think this is just a really
God minor... knows there was two-headed people there in a small
this
town.
This is a really minor piece of the story that people get really hung up on.
Well, I do because it's the only reason why she hated him.
What? Oh, because she...
Yeah.
I disagree, and I think that in the popularized story,
the dabbit.
We see this.
That's what I'm calling
but
it. I'm calling it the dabbit.
In other accounts, you know, like the story that was written, the books, they talk about how the children mm-hmm. will walk the land and see weird animals sometimes. Like, this isn't the only
This is the coolest
animal.
Place on Earth right now for me.
The Second Great
this
Awakening?
Cool,
oh.
The Second
Great
This is where the jackalope actually lives.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad we got that back in this podcast.
Glad we're re-recording.
Anyway, we're not. So, you have the children of the corn walking around seeing fantastical and mystical creatures. You have a bat which a witch draws energy from to attack the family. You have certain...
A bat.
The bat cave.
No, we don't know that that's... Oh. That doesn't exist yet.
Okay, it doesn't exist yet.
Well, it exists, but it's not part of the story yet.
Right. But still, this is where she's drawing her energy from. I mean, there's a vortex,
possibly
of quartz and water.
But that's not always
Tennessee
part of the story.
Is known, Tennessee is number one in caves. It's.
I thought Missouri was the most cavernous state in the nation.
It's second to Tennessee.
Are we sure?
You can gargle it.
Gargle?
That's how they say it in Adams, Tennessee.
I also disagree with
okay.
that.
Well, that's why you're on the show. But
glad to be.
Anyway, that's basically the story. This guy gets tormented for fucking years by this woman in his ear, right? This witch starts attacking him. And it starts kind of soft. It starts with like somebody knocking at the door and annoying them when they're sleeping. Then it grows. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. They start hearing scratching and like rats in their room gnawing at the bed things. And then the kids get up and they're like, what the fuck was that? And they try to get up and stomp the rat, but the rat's not there. Right, Jeremy?
That is true.
The rat's not there.
It's kind of, this is like the first stage, you know, of possession where, you know, you've had the invitation, you've done whatever you're going to do to break that mortal sin. And you have the it sounds like the rat's gnawing. That's not unlike what happened in the 1949 St. Louis exorcism, where they had the marching and the scratching and the thumping. So it's you know, it's kind of like unnerving you and kind of wearing you down, moving towards deeper stages of possession.
So I think it's important here also to point out that in the beginning, when the knocking is happening, the family begins to communicate with uh-huh. this entity to see what it is, to see, you know, if it'll talk back to them. And they start asking it questions and essentially like knock once for yes, two for no. And this entity seems to have the right answer for to everything. You know, how many family members are in the home? And it'll tell you how many family members are in the home. Like things that like it couldn't just be a rabbit responding.
A dabbit.
Yeah, it has to be like an intelligent
to intelligent response. Haunting. But I think to Jeremy's point, I think this becomes, when we looked at it, when we read it, and I read the chapter that actually the son writes at some point.
Titled, we're going to get into more. Our Family Trouble.
Correct. Title is Our Family Trouble. Was a chapter that was going into a book of Martin Van Buren Ingram, written in 1890.
The Authenticated History of the Bell Witch.
Which is over 70 years after this whole thing happened.
But there's a reason for that, too, that we'll talk about later.
Right. But when you look at this from the aspect of being logical and trying to figure out what exactly is happening, it borders more possession than anything. And I don't know that any other show or podcast talked about demonic possession.
I think, no, it's always, this is a witch. A lot of podcasts don't even address that it's not a witch. They don't even talk about the context in which the word witch would have been used.
Right.
Again, as I mentioned earlier, this is the second Great Awakening. So,
and we should explain that.
Yes. So in United States history, there are three points of time. Religion becomes popularized and romanticized to a point where the supernatural is almost part of your religion, but part of popular culture in a way that is, it becomes more accepted. This is what people do for fun. They don't have TV. So they go to like tent revivals. Right. And, but it's all Protestant Reformation, like part of the Protestant revivals.
But this also gets into the spiritual craze of soul weighing and trying to find where the soul exists in the body. And there's scientists and physiological studies, biological studies on where the soul is in the body. And so I think this is the same time that it's being accepted and people are actually getting funding to try to find what the soul is, what happens after life and death. There is kind of this revival going on right around the same time as this. It starts to begin.
So I just think it's important that we recognize that this is what families did for fun. Like they would go camp out at a spiritual revival in a field because that was what you had to do on a weekend.
I mean, recently when we were in West Virginia, there was a tent revival.
Yeah.
There were signs everywhere.
Yeah.
And you guys wanted to go, and I was like, no way. My grandfather was a preacher. I know what this is about.
I am not getting reborn today. I wanted to see somebody handle snakes. I think that was a fair...
If you want to see somebody handle snakes, I'll show you a different place. Jeez.
Oh, anyway. Thank you, Jeremy. Moving on.
Jeremy called in, so we can actually hang up on him at any point. So at this point in the story, I think everybody kind of took you down this amazing dark path. And there's a couple of people that have written some books. There's a self-proclaimed historian. And after reading his writings on his website, he definitely is self-proclaimed.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Well,
a couple in this town, but it's kind of that same thing. You know, the writing is poor from a history standpoint. One of the things that we need to look into as far as how we develop our stories this season is trying to get to the facts of what this could be. There's a bunch of stuff happening within the house. This attack goes on for many years, and it attacks mostly the father, John Bell, although everyone is afflicted. Some years later, John Bell's ultimate demise occurs. It ultimately happens. And he falls to coma. He dies. And when they wake up, the sons find him. And then they also find this weird vial with a liquid in it. And one of the sons gives a taste of this to the cat, and the cat dies instantly.
Within an hour.
The witch, the Bell Witch, which these sounds can be heard now, she's audible. She's a disembodied voice, and she's been with them. She has involved herself as part of a family member, which you start when you read John's writings, the son's writings in that My Troubled Family. It starts to become a family member, a person that is harassing them constantly and always bickering with them. There are times where this demon or spirit or witch is nice, which is really strange. Like, to me, that's just strange. It shows affection for the women of the family.
Sometimes, but she's also, she's violent with Betsy as well, which is the oldest daughter in, you know, John Bell's family. And she's, but she's very protective of her.
Mm-hmm. So Betsy's actually going to marry someone.
Yes.
And I think his name is Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
They're in love. They're doing fun things. They're hanging out. But the Bell Witch doesn't want this marriage to happen.
Right. For some reason. We don't really know why.
We never know any reason. We don't know reason why. She's pissed at them. I can only think that, you know, they shot the Babbitt. And that was probably something that she created. And took her a long time to create that.
But what does that have to do with this guy in particular?
It's a jackalope, just so you know.
It doesn't. It's not something that I would think that... Jackalope is a rabbit with antlers. Can we just... has nothing to do with what this thing described was.
We have to be offensive in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well...
You're offended?
So I think when you look at it from the perspective of she's not allowed to marry somebody, that was probably kind to her, that she probably could have had a decent life with, that she could have settled somewhere else.
I disagree.
You think the witch was protecting her?
I do.
Because the other person that wanted to marry her was her school teacher.
I don't think it was, hey, don't marry this guy. Instead, marry this other guy.
So what happens to Betsy?
I don't know what
ultimately. We know she breaks the engagement off.
She breaks the engagement off. But I'm saying that the witch, in all other accounts, seems to be omniscient.
And that's very strange to be omniscient. From a demon or devil perspective, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, demons, even in the Bible, they're not omniscient.
That is correct.
They don't have the power. Only
so
God
can
be
to know your thoughts. Yeah. To know your thoughts, or to know, like,
no,
no, absolutely, yeah, not.
They don't read your mind per se. They don't. They don't know things that are unknown to them. I mean, that's why that's one of the things with the possession.
So I would also like to point out that the skeptic's point of view right now is, well, yeah, because this is all a crock of shit.
Yeah.
So
sure.
We should acknowledge that.
So I would also acknowledge that I read a phenomenal book called Spook by Mary Roach. And Mary Roach goes on in her book to really point out a lot of interesting stories. And she does take one that happened in right by my parents, which is Moxville, which is another story about a ghost and a will and a trial. Right?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's why you're obsessed with it.
A lot like Greenbrier. The reason why we didn't make it a paranormal pit stop is because it was proved later in 2005 by Mary Roach that it was a hoax. She brings out a forensic signature person that looks at handwriting. Simultaneously, when you look at everything else from a skeptical standpoint from the book Spook, she doesn't pick up this case. She doesn't pick up the Greenbrier, and she doesn't pick up this one. And these are the two biggest stories, the Bell Witch and the Greenbrier. And there's a reason why a skeptic wouldn't take it. Is because of the eyewitness testimony.
There's just so much.
It's ridiculous amounts of eyewitness testimony. You're talking about hundreds of people. You're talking about the largest funeral of John Bell and the turnout and the witch who's singing in a disembodied voice until everyone leaves the church.
Right.
This is insane.
I also...
What do you think she's singing?
She's singing hymns.
Yeah.
Which is poking fun at the religion.
Yeah.
Remember that a demon knows the Bible. He knows every word.
Oh, yeah.
They know every word. They know every hymn.
And that is part of who she is, who she Correct. Is said to be, is that she knows every word of the Bible.
And they all do. I mean, demons are not by any means stupid. But a lot of times humans are afraid of them because they can't have the physical power to hurt someone. But you are actually in control of them. You mm-hmm. do. It's like me and Jeremy always say, when somebody tells us they're possessed, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
People that
you
are possessed.
You don't know that you're possessed.
Right. And any good... you know, priests or people that have dealt with it would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
The illusion that some podcasts have taken this ghost idea or this spirit idea, you have to throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts don't act like this. Ghosts mm-hmm. don't do shit like this. This is not ghost behavior. Ghost behavior is much more residual haunting, where I'm, which what you saw at Campbell House, mm-hmm. What Jeremy has seen, apparitions coming out there, and most of the ghosts that we see eventually fade because the business that they had to do is done, right? Where I stand with ghosts is it's getting more to the skeptical side of things, mm-hmm. more into quantum physics, more into the presence of what exactly are we seeing? Can a dead person really have cognitive thought after they're dead, right? So this case, for me, I think stands on its own 2 feet. But there is a darker side to this story.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get into that now.
Why it's so upsetting.
You're right. And so maybe this witch is a materialized form of trying to explain what is actually happening in the house. They have to somehow find a mechanism of misdirection. Don't pay attention to this.
Right, misdirection.
Misdirection. What did I say?
Yeah. No, I'm just agreeing.
Right, so misdirection is something that you're going to find out now. And this kind of takes place with actually a psychic, but the USA Today wrote this article, and they did this piece. And there's a generation, this is now the fifth generation of the Bells, who tells the psychic that I normally don't buy into this stuff, but you hit it on the head.
In October 27, 2015, the USA Today published an article called Psychic, I Know the Real Bell Witch Story. So, of course, we look at that and we're like, all these people are full of shit. But you read it and they kind of summarize the story of the Bell Witch a little bit. Then they get into this article, or they get into this story about Sarah Delaney Pugh, who is this psychic who theoretically, allegedly, has spoken to Betsy from beyond the grave, Betsy Bell. And it's very important to Pugh. She says it's very important to her to give Betsy a voice to say what really happened. And she says, as a Christian, when I was told that this could be something evil, it scared me. I had to really pray about it. But once I talked to Betsy, I really wanted to help as much as I could. For so many years, she was buried and couldn't tell the truth. So that's kind of where she's coming from. Later on in this article, she says she speaks to Belle, who is, you said, you know, a fifth generation descendant of John Bell. Mm-hmm. And he says that he didn't believe in mediums before he met Sarah, and they never knew, you know, she didn't know a lot of pieces about this story, and she just hit so many pieces of the story, you know, nail on the head. So they're going through this recreation of the Bell cabin that is set up in Tennessee. I think it's very important that we point out that it's not the original.
It's not cabin. The original. No, the original fell eventually, and they rebuilt it from a landmark historical standpoint. It's a tourism grab, but at the same time, it is intriguing that it is built and that you can see it. You can visualize some of the story, right?
Yeah. So it's set up like a museum, essentially, because the story is so well documented. Belle said, I'm thoroughly convinced that she has a gift that I don't have. She's the real deal. A lot of the family isn't going to like this because of this dark piece about it, right? So what Pugh discovers after talking to Betsy from beyond the grave, what actually happened to her father, John, was that a slave killed him. And so this opens up this whole slavery community around the Belle family that is never discussed in any of the couple websites we looked at and the couple, you know, podcasts that we've listened to. Nobody ever discusses even the fact that they had slaves, much less the story that surrounds this.
Now, if you read the account of the son, which I guess would be his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, mm-hmm. you start to get into a little bit of how the N-word is used presently, how they're talked down to. But then there's another aspect of, aside from the salacious nature of owning slaves and treating them with cruelty, mention of molestation, the mention of Betsy being tormented and molested by several family members comes up into this psychic's portrayal.
Right. So the abuse that Betsy experienced from this spiritual entity, right, continued until after her father John died in 1820 at about 70 years old. And the spirit did take credit for his death, stating that she had poisoned him, and, you know, she was very happy about that. Betsy didn't deny that in this alleged interaction with the psychic. She never denied that the spirit was there or that she experienced torture at the hand of this demon, right? She just said that, hey, that spirit wasn't responsible for my dad's death. It was actually a slave that killed my dad, poisoning him because he couldn't protect me. And I was 11 and being molested by another family member. And we don't find out in this article on USA Today who this family member was. We just know it's a family member.
And so, I think this kind of brings to light.
We know it's not her dad.
We know it's not her dad.
So it's got to be a brother.
It must have been one of the older brothers. And that's conjecture. That's speculation.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it is Occam's razor as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Who else would it be? Right. Why assume so much? If you have to have so much of an assumption about something, then that's probably not the truth. Right. Occam's razor teaches us this. Yeah. It's why it's called the razor. It's the truth, and it cuts like the truth. In looking at the way we've approached the Bell Witch, there are numerous things that happen that occur. The next door neighbors, Johnsons, come over, they stay the night, they witness everything. Numerous people would stay in touch with the family because Bell was very wealthy.
He was wealthy and important in the community. He was an elder at the church.
He was an elder at the church, and so much important, right, that the future president of the United States would come and visit one night to tell the tale of the Bell Witch as well, and that, of course, would be Andrew Jackson, who his three sons would eventually fight with in the Battle of New Orleans.
John Bell's three sons would fight right. with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so John Bell's three sons would fight with Andrew Jackson, making that connection. When he was in Nashville, he visits the Bell family. So there you go.
Yeah, he wasn't far, far away. His home wasn't far away.
So this isn't far from Nashville at all.
Right. No, this is like an hour-ish, mm-hmm. if that, from Clarksville, Tennessee, where okay. I lived, right? And it's an hour east. Nashville is like 45 minutes south okay. of Clarksville.
So, I mean, when Jackson gets there, he has a bout with him. The horse won't move the cart. The Bell Witch says, I'll let you proceed. One of the guys on his team's like, I got a silver bullet, and I'll end that witch.
Just being really cocky. Like,
I'm not scared of this. Anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared of no ghost.
This macho, like.
Right. He ends up running from the house, never firing his magic little bullet. And we don't know why, but they're seen. All of them are seen. Even Andrew Jackson himself are seen in a carriage moving away from the house. Like, this shit's, like, on fire over here. Whether this is all disguised as some ruse to take the attention off the molestations and the things that are happening to not only Betsy, but some abuse with their slaves. But at that point, slave abuse, there was no law.
No.
You could kill a slave. It didn't matter.
They were property, unfortunately. Yeah. That's the way that our country was
right.
functioning at the time.
And this was a very dark time. With the awakening and everything, especially when, you know, as we've said before, I mean, the first person killed in the Revolutionary War is a black man. And that actually starts the revolution. And it's because of his anger toward the British. These are the things we're not talking about. These are bigger issues. Like, Crispus Attucks was a guy that started a riot and started the Boston Massacre. And he's the first one to take a bullet.
Well, it's just so frustrating as a historian.
Right, it is.
To read all of these accounts. You know, when you sent me this and I started looking through these stories, mm-hmm. nothing was said. Nothing.
Nothing said about it. They hide it.
The slavery or...
And a real historian.
The only mention of the molestation that I even heard was it an American Haunting or something?
Yes.
That is loosely based on the Bell Witch story, and which so many, right. like Amityville Horror is also said to be pieces of it are supposed to be based on this. So many pieces of many yeah. popular horror films are based on it. But that one is like very Hollywood up, and they turned the end of it into something like
it's Donald Sutherland. I mean, Jeremy had mentioned he actually owns a copy of it, loosely based on the movie American Haunting.
Yes.
When you get into your more possession cases, it just feels like there's an illusion going on here. And, you know, whether it did happen, whether it didn't happen, this is not far from the Revolutionary War, right? Like, it's not. This is happening in 1819, 1820, right? James Monroe is the president, right? People that fought in the Revolution are still alive, and they're veterans of the Revolutionary War.
Well, and another thing that we need to point out, too, is that
there were free men. There were free black men.
Sure.
In this area.
But also the geographical location of Adams, Tennessee, is very far west.
Correct.
For the United States at the time.
The occurrences of the Revolutionary War.
Right, because the Louisiana Purchase just happened right before
1803.
This. 1803. So there's nothing. Right. There's nothing out there.
You're right. There, absolutely. I don't know that there is a revolutionary grounds in Tennessee. There is in North Carolina because you have Nathaniel mm-hmm. Green, who's one of the best journalists of all time. But Tennessee, I don't know, and I can't speak to it, but I think it eludes the Revolutionary War. I think people want to stay near the ports. I mean, this is where their power came from, which is why France was instrumental in blocking the ports, which is one of the reasons why you win the Revolution the first time.
Right.
But a lot of people don't know we fought them four more times after that, and Andrew Jackson was involved in that as well.
Good old Jackson.
Good old Jackson. And so you had not really. It's another session of facts that may or may not be true. During the Revolutionary War, Andrew Jackson's life was extremely affected by it, and him and his brothers joined the revolutionary cause at the tender age of 13 years old. Once again, this is facts that may or may not be true. He was the only president to balance the budget, and that's about it.
He's my favorite because he's horrible.
He's horrible. You can't even use a $20 bill in some parts of the country.
Yeah, he's awful.
Especially around Native Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't ever throw up a $20 bill. And that's why we've actually made a huge insurgence that we were promised that we were going to get an Indian warrior princess on a $20 bill and replace Jackson. That was approved. Of course, it never went into production. Oh, we're going to wait probably about 10 years. But eventually, we will have really cool $20 bills. So we're going to end here this evening. I know. It's sad. But there will be a part two of The Bell Witch, so join us. I want to thank again Erin Shields for being here with The Bell Witch Part 1, and she'll be on Part 2 as well. And, of course, our lovely Jeremy David King called in this session. So, guys, we'll be seeing you.